If you will open your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 22. We are reading, kind of jumping around throughout that chapter and into 23. Lots of big names and places, so bear with me. 2 Kings 22, starting in verse 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jedidah, daughter of Adaiah of Bozkath. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in all the way of his father David. He did not turn aside to the right or to the left. In verses 3 through 7, we see Josiah begin the work of reforming the temple in Jerusalem, picking up in verse 8. The high priest Hilkiah said to Shaphan the secretary, "I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord." When Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, he read it. Then Shaphan the secretary came to the king and reported to the king, "Your servants have emptied out the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hand of the workers who have oversight of the house of the Lord." Shaphan the secretary informed the king, "The priest Hilkiah has given me a book." Shaphan then read it aloud to the king. When the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his clothes. Then the king commanded the priest Hilkiah, Ahikam son of Shaphan, Achbor son of Micaiah, Shaphan the secretary, and the king's servant Asaiah, saying, "Go inquire of the Lord for me, for the people and for all Judah, concerning the words of this book that's been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our ancestors did not obey the words of this book, to do according to it all that was written concerning us." So the priest Hilkiah, Ahikam, Achbor, Shaphan, and Asaiah went to the prophetess Huldah, the wife of Shalem, son of Tikvah, son of Harhas, keeping the wardrobe. She resided in Jerusalem in the second quarter, where they consulted her. She declared to them, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, tell the men who sent you to me, thus says the Lord, I will indeed bring disaster on this place and on its inhabitants, all the words of the book that the king of Judah has read." She goes on to explain what is happening in the near future because of the Lord. And there in verse 19, she says, tell the king, because your heart was penitent and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard how I spoke against this place and against its inhabitants, that they should become a desolation and a curse. And because you've torn your clothes and wept before me, I also have heard you, says the Lord. Therefore, I will gather you to your ancestors, and you shall be gathered to your grave in peace. Your eyes shall not see all the disaster I will bring on this place. They took the message back to the king. Then the king directed that all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem should be gathered to him. The king went up to the house of the Lord, and with him went all the people of Judah, all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests, the prophets, and all the people, both small and great. He read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant that had been found in the house of the Lord. The king stood by the pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to follow the Lord, keeping his commandments, his decrees, and his statutes, and with all his heart, with all his soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in the book, and all the people joined in the covenant. Would you pray with me? Father God, just as Josiah and the people of Judah stood before your open word thousands of years ago, we stand before your word this morning. And just as they came with humble hearts, ready to hear from you and ready to move forward as a changed people, we too come before you with humble hearts, willing to hear, willing to be transformed. So God, would you have your way among us as you speak to us through your word? This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're right in the middle of a series that is exploring all the different ways that God speaks to us each and every day, inviting us to live lives with open ears and with open hearts, so that we can be a people who hear God consistently and who choose to follow him. And today we look at what is perhaps the most consistent way that God chooses to speak to us, his people. And it's no surprise that that is through his word, through scripture. all the way back from Moses on the top of Mount Sinai to today, the year 2016, we find that the people of God have always, in every season of life and faith, encountered their God through His Word. He has made it no great mystery that that is where He tends to show up. And we know that, and yet too often, if we're honest, we pass by this book each and every day without most times pausing for even just a moment to see what He might have for us in the midst of it. Just this week, I was talking to one of my family members who has a teenager who's struggling with just really poor decisions, and her mother said to me, you know, I'm just kind of hoping and praying that God just intervenes and takes care of it. Now, this is a family that goes to church maybe 3 times a year, especially the teenager, and they don't really gather around God's Word as a family, and I told this person, I'm not trying to sound preachy. I know that I'm a preacher, but I'm really trying not to be. I said, but I just think that God usually tends to show up to intervene when we put ourselves in the places where He's already told us that He's going to be. I said, sure, He could just intervene in your teenager's life and change things, but if you take her to church ever so often, it actually might help her find Him. You see, our God, He has told us where He kind of tends to hang out. He's told us where we actually can usually have a good chance of finding Him. And whenever His people gather around His Word in community together, we have seen and heard again and again a God who promises to be right there in their midst. Our God speaks through His Word, especially His Word as it is shared in community together. 2 Kings 22, we meet King Josiah. If you read the chapter before that, you will find that Josiah is the son of King Amon and the grandson of King Manasseh. These were two really, really bad dudes. They were two guys who had led Israel into a complete disregard for the Lord their God. Under Manasseh and Amon, the nation of Israel had known 75 years of idolatry and even child sacrifice, superstition, immorality in every arena of life. And then there's time in Israel's history for a new king to rise up. And who is it but Josiah? And right off the bat, we learn that Josiah was a different kind of king. There in verse 2, it says, Josiah did what was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in all the way of his father, not Amon, not Manasseh, but David. You see, this is a guy who had every reason in the world to use his upbringing as an excuse for his bad behavior. And yet he chose instead to live into another story. He chose instead to live a life of faithfulness, though his family was not. And you know, some things haven't changed in thousands of years. At some point for all of us in this room, we face a time in our lives when we must heed the call from God to simply grow up in God. To quit using excuses of who we've come from and where we've come from to keep us from becoming who we are now called to be and where we are now called to go. Josiah, son and grandson of the two most corrupt kings in Israel's history, made a conscious decision to step out of their shadows and do what was right in the sight of the Lord. May it be so with us. During his reign, he begins this work of restoring the temple that it seems to have been left in disrepair by generations of complacent kings and citizens. And in this process of cleaning out the temple and building it up, the high priest Hilkiah finds this old dusty book stored away somewhere, perhaps in some drawer that hadn't been opened in ages. And he opens it up and he finds a scroll that had been missing for 75 years. The priest secretary reads the book and he realizes this is pretty important. And he immediately goes to King Josiah, and there he reads it in his presence once again. Scholars have looked at this passage for ages, and they've looked at the results of it, and most all of them tend to agree that what was found in that drawer of the temple was nothing less than the scroll of the book of Deuteronomy, one of the most significant writings for the Jewish people. Their entire Torah only had five. It was one-fifth of their word, and it had been missing for 75 years. And not only had it been missing, but the more surprising thing is we don't get any indication that anyone was even out looking for it. You see, they found it by accident one day, and they hadn't heard the words of this scroll in so long that no one even recognized what it was they were reading. It's unreal. How in the world does God's word just go missing like that? In the temple, among God's people, of all places. Perhaps questions like this hit a little bit closer to home than we might want to admit. In this article that was written on the epidemic of biblical illiteracy in the Western world today, researcher Ed Stetzer says Christians are people who claim to believe in God's word. Yet despite this, we aren't reading it. A recent study found only 45% of those who regularly attend church read the Bible more than once a week. 40% of the people attending read their Bible occasionally, meaning once or twice a month. Almost 1 in 5 churchgoers say they never read the Bible, essentially the same number as those who read it every day. And he says, because we don't read God's word, it simply follows that we don't know it. A study in the UK surveyed British children and found that many of them could not identify the most basic biblical stories. When they were given a list of stories, 1 in 3 did not choose the nativity as part of the story of the Bible. The nativity, Christmas. Nor did they even know basic things like Jonah and Adam and Eve came from this book. And it turns out that British parents didn't do any better. About 30% of them didn't know that David and Goliath or the Good Samaritan are found in the Bible. And to make matters worse, 27% of British adults growing up in a Western, used to be Christian world think Superman is or might be a story in the Bible. And the same percentage for Harry Potter. This is not a joke. This is research. And the scary thing is, America's always followed just a few years behind the UK. That's not just happening over there. You see, these numbers are uncomfortable because they are real. We know that God speaks through his word. But do we read it? Do we know it? Do we do everything we possibly can in this ever-changing culture to give our children every opportunity to engage it on their level? The parents in the room, if I can just share my heart for a moment, I can guarantee you that there is no more critical place for your children to be on Sundays at 9 a.m. than in a Sunday school class with teachers who love them and are pouring into Scripture with them on their level. Your kids somehow get on the school bus 5 days a week, well before 9 a.m. And I can tell you that God's word is just as critical to their lives and formation as learning their letters and their arithmetic. It just is. And I know it's hard to hear because life is busy, but it's just the truth. And as the pastor, I've just got to speak the truth sometimes. You see, the other day I was struggling through something in my own life, and I was out and I was walking and I was talking to God, and out of nowhere, I just began to be just consumed by Scripture. Words of Scripture began to pour over me. Truth of God's love and God's faithfulness and Bible verses were just coming to me left and right, and on that trail, I just stopped in my tracks, and I said, God, thank you. Thank you for parents who gave me every opportunity as a young person to know your word when my mind and my heart were still a sponge, that were so receptive. Thank you. Thank you for my mom who as a single parent found a way. She was working a full-time job all week long, found a way to get her two girls to Sunday school every single week. Because here now at 32 years of age, when I'm going through a hard time, there is scripture in my heart. Thank you, God, for this mom. Thank you for your word. I'm telling you guys, God speaks through his word, and it matters. And you know, it's no different for us adults. When I do funerals, I often ask the family if they will bring me the Bible that the deceased family member used most often. I love to thumb through their copy of Scripture and see what passages they put little stars by or highlighted, or which pages have some coffee stains on them where you can tell that there was some real time spent right there. And I know not everyone is somebody that writes in their Bible, but I like to see which pages are worn kind of thin, which books like 2 Kings haven't been touched, and which ones have spent hours and hours deeply investing in. And you know, it's grieved me in the most recent years that whenever I'm preparing for a funeral of Christian people, more times than not, the families have had to look at me and say, you know, they didn't really have a Bible that will do you much good. I think there's one somewhere, but I don't think there's anything in it, and I don't think that they used it all that often. It surely won't tell you all that much about how this loved one lived their life. More and more, you guys, Christians in our own culture are claiming this love for God without any real serious pursuit of knowing him, of hearing him through his word. And what does it mean to say, I love someone who I don't even really know and who I don't even really make a lot of effort to know? How can I love an acquaintance or a stranger? Brings tears to my eyes when I stop and I dwell on it. He's given us so much to hear him and to know him. And so often, we just don't. We can ask ourselves honestly, if our Bibles at home went missing, how long do you think it would be before we realized it was gone? Would it be a day, a week, a month? Hopefully not 75 years, but maybe we're not all that different from the folks in Josiah's time. Just like back then, God's word is right here in our midst as much as ever before. But so often we walk right by the place that it sits, locked up in a drawer, collecting dust, with all kinds of other things calling for our time and our attention, and the voice of our God is pushed aside and put on hold for perhaps another day. Upon hearing the word from Deuteronomy, Josiah immediately tears his clothes. What that means is that he was changed in his heart and he repents. He has this instant response to what he is hearing. He didn't just hear it, he responded. And Josiah then sends his men out to find someone who can help him interpret this book. He realizes immediately that understanding is not going to come to him all by himself. And so they go out and they find the prophetess Huldah, and she tells them everything that this word of Deuteronomy means. The king of Judah, upon finding the word of God, immediately sent for help interpreting it. The king. Kings don't like to ask for help. And he did it. The king of Judah needed someone to walk alongside him as he tried to make sense of this thing. Isn't that a relief? It is to me. Rather than picking it up and reading a few lines and saying, boy, this thing sounds really dated. Or all of those these and thous, that sure makes no sense to me. I think I'm just going to be done with it. Instead of doing that, he said, understanding this book is absolutely critical for me and for us. And so I will go out and I will find someone to help me. He said, I won't give up. I will do what I need to do to understand so that I can hear my God and obey. Ever been in Josiah's shoes? You pick up the Bible determined to hear from God, and moments later, bored to tears, or confused out of your mind, discouraged in your heart, that these words that are supposed to be words of life just feel so ancient, so unrelatable. I got good news for you, my friends. We're not the only ones. It's always felt that way. Thanks be to God, right? Perhaps we really can say thanks be to God for that. Because in the confusion, we are invited again and again to reach out to our community and read it together. We are invited to humble ourselves and to seek help from others who've been reading it just a little bit longer than we have. Notice all throughout this chapter, the word is read three times, and never once is it read alone. Every single time, there's at least two people in the room, if not an entire nation. They read it together. You see, each week before I prepare for a sermon, I read this text multiple times. And then I go and I pick up some commentaries, these really big, boring books that scholars have written that tell you more about this passage. And I listen to what other people have to say about these words. Then I close the big, boring books, and then I go to a resource online where dozens of preachers all over the world have submitted all kinds of articles for most every passage in the Bible, and I hear what they have to say about it. Before I ever even start writing a sermon, and I went to seminary, I stop and I seek help from others who have read and struggled with these words too. You see, we're all in the same boat. We're all meant to read this together so that our God can speak through the confusion and make his voice known to us together. It's the year 2016, and everyone knows the church in America knows God's word less now than we have ever known it before. We feel much too busy, and our hearts seem much too divided to find any way to give much time to it. And I would say for this very reason, we must be a people today who commit ourselves to opening God's word in community now more than ever before. If we feel too busy for it, then that is the great indicator that we are too busy. There's no such thing as being too busy for knowing God through his word. It's a choice. And you know, we must choose to prioritize him. Knowing him, understanding him, hearing from him. And we prioritize him by prioritizing his word and his community in our lives. I long for a day when we really get this. When we as a church, this very church, not the big church out there, that'd be great too, but I just have little dreams. And I long for just this church to be so hungry to hear God's word, to know his word, that our Bible study classes on Sunday mornings are full, that there's more than three people sitting around the table, digging deeply into 2 Kings 22. I long for that day. When Wednesday nights, upstairs in that room, we have to pull up chairs because people can't get enough of knowing more about our God. Thursday afternoons in that library, that becomes a space that's much too small for the ladies to gather around and go deep into the Word of God together. I long for the day when folks are determined, absolutely determined, to make room in their lives for their first love and to put themselves right where they know he has already promised to be, where his people gather around his word. If you simply can't meet those times, that's okay. Let me know, and I'll find a time to meet with you one-on-one. I'm happy to. We can sit at Starbucks and walk through scripture together, just you and I. That's worth my time, you guys. Because you see, I really, truly believe this is real. I believe it's a matter of life and death. We simply cannot do this life with God apart from being immersed in the Word of God. And if that is true, then there are simply no more excuses. It's time to get serious about this. Our God speaks when his people gather around his word. And if we truly love him most of all, then we simply won't want to come up with reasons not to be here in God's word together. After receiving help from the prophetess Huldah, Josiah gathers all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem and all the people, and it says he reads to them all the words of the book that had been found. And he makes a covenant right then and there with God before the people, promising to keep God's word. And on that very day, at that very moment, at the hearing of the word of God, everything began to change. Idols that had stood in their place for 75 years were completely demolished and removed all the way across the land, and not just some of them, but all of them. The Passover, it says in chapter 23, had been neglected for 75 years. And Josiah saw to it that it was observed that year once again for the first time in decades. The country, the people, the temple, the king were all fully dedicated to their God once again because they had received his word. And 2 Kings 23:25 sums up Josiah's life with these beautiful words. Before him, there was no king like him who turned to the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses. Nor did any like him arise after him. All because he found God's word, and he took it seriously. And he did what he needed to do to understand it. And he acted upon what he understood. He found God's word. He took it seriously. Did what he needed to do to understand it. And acted upon what he understood. Because of that, a man was changed. Because of that, a people were changed. God's voice, which hadn't been heard in 75 years, was heard. Loud and clear, it was heard. And so what about us? My friends, we have all we need to do the same. This week, just this week, might your Bible carry more fingerprints on it than dust? Might your confusion with these words lead you deeper into this community rather than farther away? Might your heart be for your God first and foremost, and might everything else come after that? Might you open these pages with open ears and an open heart, and might you be unwilling to walk away until your God has spoken? And hearing from God, might you have the courage not to be a hearer of the word only, but also a doer. One who allows your life to be absolutely transformed by God's word, and one who invites us, your community, into transformation just the same. Might you not keep it to yourself? Because we all need to be transformed. Might we put ourselves consistently where we know God's word is going to be delivered? Did you know that each week, when I stop to put a sermon together, I see your faces as I pray and as I write. I see you all week long. In each and every message, believe it or not, there are specific lines meant for specific people put on my heart by God himself. Sometimes you grab me after and say, I think you were talking right to me, and I play dumb, but I probably was. I probably was. And let me tell you, friends, from the bottom of my heart, nothing grieves me more as your pastor than to know that God put a word on my heart for you and to look out on a Sunday morning and see that you're missing. It grieves my heart. And we can say, well, all things happen for a reason. Sometimes the reason is simply we didn't get out of our PJs and get to church. It's not all overly spiritual sometimes. It's a choice. You know, he's told us where he hangs out. And here in this place, people from all walks of life come together, resisting a world that tells us to choose complacency, resisting a world that tells us to compromise our holy calling. And week after week, we gather and say together, I will make every effort to be where my God has told me he will be. I will put myself in the place that I know his people gather around his word. Maybe I find God better on a mountain or in front of the TV. Great. We've got 6.5 days a week to find God in mountains and on TV. He's told us when his people gather for worship, he's there. Why risk missing it? We tell each other every week, I will keep coming back to this place until I am transformed by hearing his word together, until we are transformed by hearing our God together. So this week, as we carve out space to hear from God, let us simply pick up our Bibles and read it. We can do that, right? Don't have one, take the one in the pew. I don't care. We've got more around here. It's a church. They're everywhere. Take it. You can have it. This week, gather with us, and let's try to make sense of these words together. Tomorrow night, young adults will gather in this place for just that. If you're a young adult, come. If you're not, Wednesday night, we're all doing the same thing upstairs. If you're an adult at all, come. Youth group right after that, doing the same thing. If you're a youth, come. Thursday afternoons, the ladies start a brand new study called Something About the Word of God, and it's happening in that room right there. If you're a lady on Thursday afternoon, you're free, come. Come. Because our God speaks, and he speaks through his word as we read it together. It's no mystery. He speaks. Oh God, thank you for your word and for this community to hear it with. Oh God, forgive me, forgive us for the ways I've taken both of these things for granted. Your word and reading it with your people and leaning into both of these this week. Oh God, may we hear from you. Word of God, speak, for your church is listening. Would you pray with me? Father God, thank you that you want to be heard. Thank you that you speak at each and every hour of each and every day through your holy word. God, help us desire you enough today and this week to prioritize finding you, hearing from you, living in a loving relationship with you, first of all. And as we do that, would you transform our families, our neighbors, our world, yes, even our church. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.